as our speaker today. Sharon earned a master's degree in divinity at Vanderbilt University, and she has held work positions as a teacher, nonprofit worker, and college professor. Sharon currently operates a counseling company called Spiritual Care Providers, and she teaches at MTSU. The title of Sharon's sermon is Time to Reflect. Let's welcome Sharon.
That's what we can do with this stuff that's happening. You know, the thing you do is you get more determined to love. And you're not gonna let them take it from you. It's really, really important. I'm glad to be here today. Glad to be here. And I never know what it's going to look like when I come. And I sort of like that. You know, it's sort of reflective of you, isn't it? You never know who you're going to meet. You never know what kind of message. You never know. And so that's so exciting. And you kind of just go with it. And it helps you learn to just go with the flow. So I'm back there thinking about the message, thinking about this, and looking at the stage, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, we have such sacred things that mean so much to us up here. Our candle lighting for our sorrows and our joys, the chiming in, the chalice, you know, the plants, every bit of it it creates and is so symbolic. And I thought, oh my goodness, how nice to have so many other symbols of compassion and love and caregiving. And I thought the couch where two people could sit and share, you know, and share something. The kitchen table where we sit around and talk and weave and laugh and eat and argue, you know. And how many times the telephone to pick up and talk to someone, news, to reach out and communicate. And so I really think this is almost like additional sacred items up here in our life. And you know, I'm all about the sacred, finding the sacred in the everyday. So we have some additional sacred stuff up here. And really, music over there, if that's what that is. I mean, really some good things. So, time to reflect. I've done this before. I've talked about reflection, transition. I'm kind of like, I don't know if I should talk about that again. I hope they didn't remember. I hope we didn't take that one. But this time it's a little different. This time I'm on my personal journey here. And so we are going to reflect. And I love the prayers. Joe, I love the prayers. I love the reflection on that. And we are to be able to reflect about how we can live with such sorrow. Coming up and living and feeling so overwhelmed by all that is happening, sometimes it is so easy to think hatred wins. But you know, we just can't let it. And so it is a call in a lot of ways for us to reflect deeply and to decide firmly, fiercely, and courageously that we will not let it deter our path of love. And that's just what you have to do. Sometimes you just have to make up your mind. You just have to claim it. Anybody ever tried to stop smoking? Yeah, I too. It was hard. And one thing that I learned, and like when I try to give up something like soft drinks or so, you know, whatever it is, you just have to say, I don't do that. You just say, I don't do that. I don't drink soft drinks, thanks. Or no, I don't smoke. And if you have one when you shouldn't, okay, I did that. I don't do that, though. So that's an anomaly to who I am, rather than, okay, I failed, I'm a smoker. So it's how you frame things as to how you step into the world. So to claim positively, no, I am not going to hate. I'm not going to be a fear monger. I'm not going to be afraid. I love. And let that be the drum you beat. Let that be your motto. I love. I love imperfectly because I am imperfect. But I love, and I stand on the side of love as we had that button, and the UU certainly embraced that as we were standing with our brothers and sisters that, you know, the communities of same-sex or various gender identifications, as if gender was the way we had to be in the world, and if it was some sort of set, you know, set thing that there was only one way to be, one right way, as we've talked about it here. We've talked about the one best way. We've talked about reflection. We've talked about transition. We've talked about Maya and what it means to follow the illusion and then to disassociate and to be able to see that clearly. And so I am going to be taking time for reflection. I do retreat work. I know you all know that. And I just had a retreat Friday, and I part of the retreat and part of the hard stuff sometimes is to remind yourself you must draw away, you must remove yourself in order to reflect. I had a tape one time, and I do mean tape, it was that old. It was a cassette tape. Well, an 8-track. I remember those too, but it was a cassette, and it was you know, one of these things you listen to that help you feel better. And it was called Up From Depression. I think I had it when it was a divorced city and all sorts of things was happening. I used to listen to it at night. It was really good. It was when I first got the Love Tapes. And they're still out there if you want it. They're really good. I bought the Love Tape, and it said at the beginning, do not use this tape in your car. And, of course, I'm coming out of school, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I guess you really could. You just stay alert. And you can listen to it, and I could, but then I'm negating the benefit of the tape. I'm not using it properly, you know. You can get a chainsaw, you get out, you don't use it right, you get hurt. You use a lot of tools that are meant to use a certain way, and if you don't use them properly, you get hurt. And you get hurt in different ways because then you think you are rested. Then you have that Mayan view that you know what you're doing. And that is an illusion. So I have been, you know, I tell people one of my favorite verses from the Christian text, anyway, is be still and know. Be still and know that I am God is the entire verse. But I love the be still and know. And I tell them when I was in divinity school, it was all about the learning. You must learn, you must read, you must speak, and you're thinking and you're being, and all of that's great and good to do good work. But if you look at the scriptural point, if you're really trying to seek God, a higher power, an inner peace, whatever it is, it's the be still. It didn't say, get a degree and know. It didn't say, write that other paper and know. It didn't say any of those things. It didn't say, go out and write a book, preach to people. You know, it said, be still. And we're not very good at that. I have people that come to my retreat and they're like, well, I have to be doing something while I'm still. I'm like, okay, that's kind of not being still. But, you know, like what? And if it's just distracting or tactile sensations, that's fine. That's how we kind of learn. I had a woman say, you know, I have a spinning wheel, a miniature spinning wheel. And so what I do is just kind of roll this yarn through when I'm stressed. And I just sit there and I get into this rhythm. And she said, it just helps me so relax. And so we are tactile creatures. We need some of that. But we so many times want to tackle something. Oh, we want to learn to meditate. Well, let's read all about meditation. Where's the source? Where's it from? Blah, blah, blah. And we'll go in and meditate. Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? I had a wonderful professor. Indian, is comes out of the Hindu tradition. He, his father then became a Christian minister, and he followed along that line and ended up back at Vanderbilt. He said he believed in meditation, it was very important, but he never really practiced it. He had practiced prayer in kind of the standing way, And he said the first time he went to meditation classes, he really had such a hard time because he had a hole in his sock. And so he said he sat there and all he wanted to do was kind of make sure the hole wasn't there. And then he kept reflecting on the fact that here he is, a Vanderbilt professor, you know, in Buddhist religion, Christian studies, and here he's sitting and has a hole in his sock, you know. So he took from that a couple of things, which his busy monkey mind, his mind was so busy, he could not settle. And his mind was so busy because of his ego. You know, who am I to have a hole in my sock? You know, well, I think you're human. Mm-hmm. You know, and he said he began to reflect on himself in the hole. Why, you know, the hole was there to teach him something. The hole was there to teach him to let go and let a hole be. It was fine. But it took him a while because of ego. It took him a while because that seeking for perfection. And it took him a while to let go and be okay with the hole in his sock, to welcome it. And in Buddhist teaching, that would be, you know, a teacher. It manifests a lot of times as animals. In the Jakarta tales, we talk about various animal stories about how animals have entered into lives as teachers. It can be things, and in this case, it was his sock. And it took him a while to think of that. So reflection, you know, you can find lots of things if you are using it properly, if you're really trying to reach that. But we tend to rush into things and want it to look good and be right. You know, am I doing it right? Am I doing it perfectly? And we need to let go of that. And it's hard. So the letting go is part of that reflection, to be still and know, to be still and have time to figure it out, to be still and reflect deeply. So with that in my mind, I was reading, again, from what I consider one of my holier books, is Sabbath, Rest and Renewal. It's about resting, which I go back to look at what I really want to do. And the author, which I've used him many times in here, Wayne Mueller, he comes out of the Christian tradition, but he has explored and honors and studies loads of traditions. He is an embracer of all traditions. And he was talking about when it was his time for his ordination. And he was actually, the person speaking to him was Henry Nouwen. And I don't know if you know him. He is a wonderful theologian that you might want to explore. Not for the Christian teachings or any particular, but because his making room for other, because his unusual look at some of the things that we have been handed all our lives and float around here and spew out of pulpits without a deep reflection. And Henry Nouwen was very, very good at that. He very spiritual. And he ordained, was at the ordination for Mr. Mueller, Reverend Mueller, I guess. And he says in this book, under this is an actual chapter, nobody special, says, when Henry preached at my ordination, he told me to remember that the spiritual life was one of downward mobility, he repeated several times, as if he worried I would forget. Indeed, I might have. I was fresh out of seminary and had a great deal of spiritual feats to accomplish. I was certainly prepared to dedicate myself to the service of others. Surely the honor and recognition would come up naturally. So I will go and put forth and be this person that serves with the expectation that I'm going to get my credit due, right? Is what he's calling himself out. Henry Nouwen was saying, no, if you lead a spiritual life, it is not about climbing. It is not about seeking the worldly accolades. And serving is not about that. And when I read that, it stuck. And that's how I know, at least for me, when, you know, I've been hit over the head with a red flag, so to speak, or the bells are ringing, whatever we want to use to describe, we need to pay attention to something. Downward mobility. And here I've been worried about earthly things. I've been worried about job. I've been worried about what does it mean. I like the sound of professor at MTSU. I like the sound of business owner. I like the sound of having my own office and people needing to talk to me. I like that. And so there's nothing wrong with enjoying the fruits of your labor or enjoying serving others. But when it gets so busy, then that's when you get caught up in that lion world, I guess I should say for me. So in reading this, and he goes on to talk about, for example, and this is again just using the examples of the Christian text, it said, he goes back to Jesus saying, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your good work will be done in secret, you will be rewarded in secret. In other words, not seeking that out. And he goes on to talk about humiliation, and et cetera, et cetera, from his holy man, Jesus. Okay. And so I gleaned things from his words. I don't have to follow directly. Diwali is so wonderful. I don't, you know, the coin, the figures on the coin, and I know of who we speak, but I don't, you know, follow. But how exciting to hear that some of someone's tradition, and they are, and how exciting is that, and I love that. Shelley, thank you. And I learned more about that. It's really neat. But I don't have to follow that to honor it, right? I don't have to worship that way. And that's a lesson that you guys have helped me learn. That I can speak of Jesus or I can speak of Christians without following the tenets of a particular faith. I can study Buddhism. I can study Hinduism. I can study all the other isms without following the tenets. I can listen and learn from those who would have, as Joe said, appear no faith in the sense of, a lot of my atheist friends are very faithful to certain things, so I don't like that phrase in some ways, but I understand it, no religious kind of construct. And the agnostics who, you know, I want to say, yeah, I'm right there with you, the not knowing, but maybe still having belief in or hope in the not knowing. I can do all of that. And this place has provided that. And I want you to embrace it. And it provides for that. So we gather together with our own little odds and ends to make meaning in the world that we've talked about. But in listening to reflection and listening to that downward mobility, I am more comfortable with that slide than I am a climb. And by virtue of getting into some of the things I've gotten into, a climb is expected. In fact, a climb is only tolerated. There is no leveling off and there is no decline in some ways. You still can fit as long as you know it's spiritual, as long as you know the spiritual climb is still there. It's the outward decline. I was reading then another part of this dear little book, and it was talking about thinning. And I don't mean getting thin. My dear papers have slid away. There's so many out. Take me in. Bear with me just a moment. They use the example of gardens, which, you know, I know Joe, you and Bertie have wonderful examples of planting and the way that it has helped you. I think I know, I've read it enough to know, you know, here it is. Just when I say I don't need it, it pops up. And the author talks about thinning. It's just two little pages. Karen and I have talked about it. You know, here, Kitty and I, we've all talked about how to shed our things, shed things and get rid of things in a sense. And that is thinning. And so this is something I'd like to leave you with thinking about too. This is a little story, sort of. It says, Francis writes to me, I've been noticing what is to be simplified in the abundance of my life, all the opportunity. So writing that this person has an abundant life, it's sort of what we seek, an abundant life, a life filled with choices, etc., and how fortunate and privileged we are when we have that. But she says she's noticing what has to be simplified is the opportunity. Says the metaphor for this is my garden. We have an abundance of growing vegetables. And I know so many of you planted. Carol Sue, I know you do too. Yeah, we get used to. Yeah, used to. I used to. And I've done this very same thing that she's talking about here. We have an abundance of growing vegetables. We planted turnips, carrots, radishes, lettuce, herbs, tomatoes, eggplants. They started growing riotously. I've never really now had that experience. My soil's not been that good, and I would probably confess gardening skills, maybe patience. But it says, I couldn't believe how you could plant seeds and all this stuff would come up with abandon. I knew I needed to thin those turnips and carrots. It says so on the package. Have you ever read the seed package? It says so. I just hate that. I cannot bear to pull up a living plant when, you know, for another to live. I can't do it, which is probably why I just don't have one. But she said, I thought maybe they'd grow anyway. That would be denial. So I never did thin or prune those turnips and carrots. They also never grew. Not one turnip did I get, although there were tons of greens, which you can eat turnip greens, by the way. You know. But so I've been reflecting on why I don't want to thin things in my life that I need to. I just keep holding on for dear life. But those turnips tell me what will happen if I don't create space for growth, space for life, and space for spirits, for spiritual growth. And so with all of that, when we talk about reflection, I want to make sure that you guys realize the importance of thinning, the importance of taking time to reflect without an expectation of what is coming. With that, I want to tell you some exciting news, and it's bittersweet. But it doesn't have to be because you're family. And Rick and I talked about this driving over here, and I tell you because you're family. And I've been telling family and closest friends. We have decided that it's time for us to work a little differently in life. And we are, with the speed we hope that's coming, going to Boone. And moving to Boone, North Carolina. And I don't have a contract signed yet, but we have investigated, and either Ashe County, where I am from, or Boone, North Carolina, as of June. And the decision for that was not anything to do with people that I love here. In fact, you made it much more difficult. Thanks. Doesn't have anything really to do with those that I love at MTSU. Doesn't have anything to do with those I love in my practice. Doesn't have anything to do with those I love to go do reflections with. It has everything to do with all of them. And so we are starting again and going to restart in Boone, North Carolina. Our Ash, we don't have the contract yet. This is the leap of faith, but as Jill knows, I'm bad to just do things that way. I just say yes to things that we don't know that's solidified. I hope that you'll have me back to visit, not as on a regular basis, but I hope that I'll have more things to share. I hope that I'll have more things to share because I will have had some growing space. And maybe I'll be as fat as a turnip, metaphorically, hopefully. But whatever. But I wanted to say I love you. And I do. And I appreciate you. And I thank you for providing me the growth and opportunity for growth that I've had with you. For those of you that aren't here very often, those of you that are maybe new, hang on to these people. Hang on to this. It's something special. I'll close with a verse from a song that I love. It's called Closing Time, which ironically is about closing a bar. But at the end of it, it's supposedly the guy was influenced by his new child on the way, and wrote it as a closing bar song. I don't know, but whatever. It's every new beginning. Oh, now I'm going to mess it up.
It comes from some other
beginnings. Some other beginnings end. Yes. So every new beginning comes from some other beginnings end. So new beginnings for me and for you. And I wanted just to thank you. We will have second hour. We'll talk about that. We'll pick up with that verse. Thank you very much.